We are two mariners, our ship's sole survivors in this belly of a whale. Its ribs are ceiling beams, its guts are carpeting. I guess we have some time to kill. You may not remember me, I was a child of three, and you a lad of 18. But I remember you, and I will relate to you how our history's in a weave. At the time you were a rake and a rastabout, spending all your money on boys and out. Wow. You had a charming air, all cheap and debonair. Your gambling arrears, the only thing you left behind. And then the magistrate reclaimed our small estate, and my poor mother lost her mind. Then one day in spring, my dear sweet mother died. But before she did, I took her hand as she dying cried. Oh,
oh. Find him time to a woman who his fingers just wanders, turn to a woman till he wakes up naked, crying at the sight of his wife.
It took me 15 years to swallow all my tears among the urchins in the street, until a priory took pity and hired me to keep their vestry nice and neat. But never once in the employ of these holy men did I turn my mind from the thought of revenge. Oh. One night I overheard the prior exchanging words with a penitent whaler from the sea. The captain of his ship, who matched you toe to tip, was known for wanton cruelty.
Thank you.
then that fateful night, we had you in our sight. After 20 months at sea, your starboard flank abeam, I was getting my muskets clean when came this rumbling from beneath. The ocean shook, the sky went black, and the captain quailed. And before us grew the angry joys of a giant whale. Don't know how I survived the crew off. What divine intelligence that you should survive as well as me. It gives my heart great joy to see your eyes fill with fear. So lean in close and I will whisper the last words you'll
CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Inkstead Show. Oh.
Still going.
And it don't stop. Woo! Okay. This is Robin and Colin on the Inkstead Show.
Hi.
And we have Gareth on the phone.
Yes, you do.
Do we have you there, Gareth?
I'm here.
That song doesn't stop.
That was the longest song I've ever heard. 17 minutes is unheard of in this day and age.
It wasn't 17 minutes.
If it was an inch.
It was an epic 8 something, but
I love
yes,
it though.
It's a good track. Yeah. It was a ditty. Colin had never heard them before. I hadn't heard them before, but apparently it has been recommended to Colin many times.
It's assumed that as I'm some sort of closet socialist, so
closet. You have Lenin posters in your living room.
That song makes me kind of wish that something tragic happened to my family when I was a kid. The whole revenge theme throughout your life sounds kind of romantic.
Revenge is romantic, but doesn't feel that way once it's done. I don't know. So, Gareth, you're the creator of Magic Teeth Comics.
I am.
Magic Teeth, the epic comics, let's say. Epic as in...
It's never ending?
It like never ends. Like that song.
It's a segue.
That almost is, yes. But in a good way. Let's talk about the premise of Magic Teeth Dailies. Right now, you're up to issue 11, is it, or 12?
Yeah, 12 just came out last week, so
okay.
I haven't gotten that to you yet.
Awesome.
Yeah, today is the beginning of my third year.
Yeah.
Doing a cartoon a day. How it began, is that what you're asking?
Let's talk about how it began and how it's going to go and some comparisons of daily stuff.
Okay.
Because I find the whole daily concept interesting as far as creative output.
Yeah, I'm enjoying
the strengths and minuses of it and stuff.
Strength is that it forces me to do something every day. There was this weird statistic in art school when I was going there. I think the teacher trying to scare the students said something along the lines that 95% of you in this class won't do any art ever again in the rest of your life after you graduate. And I thought that was kind of shocking. And I, sure enough, 6 months after I was at art school, I hadn't really done anything. So in my frustration, I sat down and wrote day one on the top of a piece of paper, did 4 panels or whatever it was, and vowed I wouldn't stop until I was dead.
Wow.
it's been coming along all right.
Now, the daily concept. Now, some other people have done it. There's the Iron Man Challenge, for those of you who don't know. I guess curated by Ed Brisson and some other people involved with the Crown Commission, but it's an international thing where a bunch of guys do a daily comic. But the difference between yours and theirs is, first off, theirs is all online, and yours still maintains the original printed format?
It does. And if I'm mistaken here, correct me, but I think they actually just do 5 days a week and take
that
weekends off.
That was my other difference.
Yeah, what the heck is that?
What's up with that? They're not men.
Lacking.
Iron Man.
They need to party.
Yeah. Yeah, don't get me partying done.
Comic people don't party.
No.
They're all laid back. They sit at home and read Velvet Glove Cast Iron over and over again.
What
and try
book.
And figure out what it means.
Yeah, it's all about Al Columbia somehow.
Yes, for those of you that listened last week, apparently some of the tales that Peter Begg told us about Al Columbia were a tad facetious.
I would agree with them all. Everything I've heard about Al Columbia is equally as odd.
Yeah.
And, you know, we could talk about that for an hour.
Nah, that's okay. Let's talk about your comics.
All right.
So Magic Teeth, 3 years today, I was looking, and yeah, because today's 27th, and I've got the...
2 years. I've done two years straight, and I'm just starting my third. That sounds a little...
Yeah.
More impressive. Yeah, drawing a cartoon a day for 2 years has been pretty fun. It's, you know, coming up with an idea every day is not really the hardest thing. It's finding the time to ink it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, you know, it's trying on my time, but I certainly love it. I look forward to sitting down at the end of the day every day.
Do you find you're able now to do a cartoon under, like, any circumstances, if you're on the road or away from your desk?
Yeah, I've got this little clipboard, and I've got a little poke of ink and of some pens, and no matter where I am, I can do it. So on the ferry and you know, on a boat somewhere. I'm always on a boat, it seems, and I live on an island. As long as I get it done before I go to sleep, I'm happy.
Now, I've known some other people that are doing the Ironman Challenge, and they found that the daily comic thing has been a challenge as far as, like, restricting them creatively, because they put the energy into just, you know, forcing themselves to get that comic done, that they don't really work on other stuff. How do you feel about that? Do you find that you're developing your skills more refined with the daily?
Yeah, actually, I read back and went through the first couple of years of them recently, and I can see where I've improved or what I've learned over the years. It's whether it's stopping me from doing other things, part of me thinks it is, but, you know, I'm really easy to just procrastinate and not get anything done. And when I used to do longer comic books, I'd kind of put it off and do it whenever I got it done. So I still find that I'm getting all this other work done in my artistic day, but the dailies is just kind of the wheel that keeps going. It gives me a lot of energy to draw other things as well.
Now, before the dailies, you had about, what was it, like 60, was it Magic Teeth?
65. Yeah, 65, I think it was, issues of Magic Teeth. I started that in 1990, actually. And, yeah, that was mostly 30-page comics. And it was sort of the same as what I was doing, but a little longer form.
Now, that's still, like, as far as an output as mini-comics, now, those were they more mini-comics, or were they standard comic size?
They were mini-comics. They were typical 8.5x11, folded-in-half comic.
Still, that's an impressive output right there, you know, just to have that amount, and then, but to continue, it's neat. And, now with the Magic Teeth, it seems like you're trying to take it to another level, and then also doing different formats. Now, the first four books are 100-page chunks.
Yeah, the first five, actually. I figured I'd just publish it like that, because it was still like a zine. I'd do 100 pages in a little, I had color covers and little French flaps. It kind of looked nicer than anything I'd done before, but it was nightmarish in production. This hand cutting and hand folding and stapling that thick of a booklet was way too much time. So I found this publisher here that prints comics, like the standard Marvel comic, glossiness and size. And I found that, you know, less hands-on for me to produce them. I just draw them and send them in digitally to this company. And, yeah, can more easily buy them. They're cheaper now.
Is it so the cost for you is quite a lot less?
Yeah,
with
my sanity. I was doing like 500 folded books, and just my house was a mess of papers. always just lining up and folding. My hands were numb at the end of a weekend of folding.
So your lady's probably also happier that there isn't stacks of comics.
Oh, she's so happy. All that extra time goes to her.
Now it's just the comic collection that's everywhere.
Yeah. I try not to bring too many of them home. Luckily, I have a comic book store downtown that I can store it all at.
We should let people know, if you are do go to Victoria, it's a Legends Comics.
Legends Comics.
Which is my favorite comic store in Victoria for years.
A great little store, isn't it?
It is.
Happy to have been there for so long.
In Victoria, like, it seems like there's like this block of comics stores, and you've got the one which is the gamer store.
Yep.
The, you know, if you want to go play Magic, that's where you're gonna go. And then you got the other one that's like the Victoria equivalent of Golden Age Collectibles. It's kind of soulless and white.
You could put it that way.
I'll put it that way. You don't have to put it that way. I'll put it that way as a comics commentator. And so Legends, now you weren't one of the original, it was Lloyd.
His name was Grant. Grant opened it in 1992, the day that Superman died. I remember that. Like, it was November 7th, 1992, that day that every man in a brief with a briefcase and a three-piece suit was lining up to buy that comic.
What a great way to open a comic store, it all to those.
It was the death knell, too. That was the bullet in the back of the head of the comic industry. Slowly just died after that.
Yeah, that was when Marvel bought their own distributor and...
Heroes World, remember that?
Oh, I remember. I was working in a comic store at that point.
Oh, God. One day we'll look back with our grandchildren on our knee and talk about the 90s comic industry. And Rob Liefeld will be the boogeyman under the bed. Kids will cry themselves to sleep.
Well, it's interesting because there's an article in the new 30th anniversary journal about how the 90s were almost the death of comics and stuff. Yeah. So, and it's, as a retailer yourself, do you find you're facing that again with this whole rush of variant covers?
No way. I'm actually embracing the variant covers right now because the customers don't care. Nobody buys them reason. I've got two customers out of my, 300 subscribers who even care if there's a different cover. Nobody buys the two except for these couple guys, and it's kind of a fun hobby to hunt them down. I don't sell them for anything more than cover price for those variants. But, yeah, it keeps people happy. As long as the overall comic world is producing something good, I don't care all the gimmicks.
I was just wondering, how do you think being a cartoonist affects the way that you approach being a comic shop owner, selling comics?
Well, I perceive myself as having somewhat, a well-defined sense of integrity. And a lot of comic stores would, try to whore off a bunch of kind of lesser quality books up front. And I can't do that. I always put the good stuff up front and try not to carry the crap. But you don't really make a lot of money that way because crap still sells.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm a cartoonist. I know what I like. And I'm well-schooled in the history of comics. So they've got a whole bunch of books that I can sell with confidence.
Now, you're one of those people who kind of straddles the world of comics. There's some people that are all indie, all alternative, but you, your love of Spider-Man.
Oh, God, Spider-Man.
Tell us about that. Like, where does this start? Because you have every issue of Amazing Spider-Man?
I do. I officially have every appearance of Spider-Man from the 20th century.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I work in a comic store, right? They show up and I pull them aside. It started in the late 80s. I was just... I guess I have something in me that collects. If I find two Pez dispensers, I end up trying to find more. And Spider-Man just looked like something that I could complete. If I was, some kids collect Batman or Superman, like, who the hell can do that? You can't go back to the 40s and buy all these things, especially in high school. So I just figured it was a challenge I could try to hunt down, pre-eBay, try to hunt down these back issues. And I totally dig the aesthetic, the Bendy dots of early 1960s comics. Spider-Man just kind of appealed to me in a colorful way.
Is it that youthfulness to Spider-Man that sets it apart from, say, the X-Men or, Green Arrow?
Yeah, I never really read them. I just looked at the covers. I've always been just a comic fan, and even before I could read, I was a big fan of Herb Trimpe's Godzilla, and just the colors on the cover, and just as a piece of pop culture, comics are just really entertaining to me, just to stare at. So all these other characters, if they didn't have the same visual look as a Godzilla or a Spider-Man, I just ignored it. Spidey, I could have chosen anything, and I just chose him. He looks cool, right? A nice face mask.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that new metal thing.
No, that's an abomination. Part of the story, though, which I kind of forgive it.
You do read the comics.
I do now, yeah.
Actually, that's one thing I noticed in one of your Magic Teeth, is you had this one where I spend half my life amassing my library.
Yeah.
And the other half not reading it.
Exactly.
I understand that.
Yeah, my goal is to. I have a library. I have, you know, every freaking hardcover comic book you can get. I just, you know, to put it on my shelf, and I like to sit down and read them. But one day, my goal is to read them all. I'll sell them before then.
Will you ever read that All-Star Squadron or All-Star Comics? You know, the DC Comics. What was it? Those hardcover editions.
Oh, no. Those are still sitting on the shelf. I'll never read those.
No. That's something I went through myself, going through, and I had the Eisner Spirit books, the first four. And it's like, you know, I tried reading them and just couldn't do anything for me. I love Will Eisner, but it was just...
Yeah, there's 18 of those Eisner books out now. I've got them all on my shelf. And, yeah, I pick them up and read a short story here and there, but sitting down and reading them all in one go or something would be just too much of an effort. I just read in the bath, grab a handful of comics, and go sit down. Peter Bagg stuff, that's easy to read.
Yeah.
Some comics are just hard to read. I love them all, but they're hard.
It's a lifestyle, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Was that your cat we heard in the background there?
Yeah, she's
the insulin kitty.
The insulin cat. She's probably on a diabetic low right now, but she seems all right. Been in the sun.
Now, Pierogi Cat, the main character, I guess, of the Magic Teeth Dailies.
Pierogi Cat, yeah.
Let's hear a little bit about the history of the Pierogi Cat.
For years, since I was a little kid, I was just drawing cats. And, I remember in pre-elementary school, I was drawing these little cartoon cats called Cosmic Kitty or something, and did these little stories about them. I always had a cat and figured they're easy enough to draw. But I think Garfield, I used to try to draw him a lot and realized all those stripes on his back were just too much effort. So I just, over the years, pared this stylized cat down to this basically a circle with a couple eyes. And the Pierogi Cat came from that.
I know you've made dolls and buttons, and it's pictures. Almost like a media empire.
Yeah, it's this little
featuring the Pierogi Cat
miniature empire, and you can kind of you can't buy them anywhere except for at my store. And it's kind of fun. It's fun to have my fingers in little segments of mass production, but really not have any financial input to it. you know, I make 10 T-shirts. You'd be girls walking around the streets in the summer wearing a Pierogi Cat t-shirt. That's kind of fun.
All right!
Yeah. And people keep getting tattoos, which I love.
Crazy.
There's been 9 people so far, I counted up, with Pierogi Cat tattoos on their body.
Wow. Cool.
I guess the girls like Pierogi Cat. He's just kind of cute.
Yeah, my girlfriend wears the button with Pierogi Cat and the kitty litter.
Oh, great. There's a new one with Pierogi Cat wearing her period pants. Which I was thinking of Seinfeld. You know the TV show Seinfeld? I've watched every episode of this. And... my goal in life is to try to do something in a comic that wasn't touched upon in Seinfeld. They had an episode about every social awkwardness possible, from female orgasm faking to, you know, erectile dysfunction. But the period pants seemed to never be brought up.
I did see a Saturday Night Live sketch with the period pants.
Oh, really?
But
okay. There you go.
What's a period pant?
What was that?
Colin's wondering what are period pants.
Oh, you know, this is the comfortable pants, so... I've seen them wears around the house.
I was thinking more they had the pads from, you know, the 50s. So those women rocking the pads. So period pants, actually, that would be something different.
Yeah, Emily Choquette touches on that subject quite a lot. The brilliant Victoria cartoonist who has recently stopped drawing cartoons. We should get a fan vote to make her start drawing again.
Why do people stop drawing comics?
Oh, I don't know. Start drawing tattoos, I guess.
I guess it pays more.
How's the Vancouver comic industry going?
Industry?
It's pretty quiet here.
Yeah.
Well, no. Well, we have a comic art show happening right now at the Emily Carr College of Art, featuring people like Rebecca Dart and Mark Bell.
Nice.
And others. That was put together by Owen Plummer.
Oh, and he's a spark plug, isn't he? He gets stuff done.
Yeah, he's curated quite a bit around town. On Monday, Julian Lawrence gave a 2-hour presentation of his life in comics, going all the way back to his baby pictures.
Wow.
PowerPoint presentation. And Drippy the Newsboy came up and sang a song with Julian's band, and it was weird.
Didn't you guys all want to beat up Drippy the Newsboy, too, at one point there?
Who would want to touch Drippy the Newsboy? Come
Buddy,
on.
It reminds me of Buddy Blood Drop. Remember him? He used to come to your high school and try to tell you to give blood? The big giant...
I think I'm too old for that.
I think I'm too young.
Yeah, I'm stuck in the middle.
I don't remember that,
There's a comics gap. One of the things, if you could talk about, is your interest in your building. that Legends is located in your research into it, because it's pretty neat. It's your own little project among your other projects.
Yeah, every few months I become obsessed with something else, and it winds its way into the narrative. Legends is located in this building that was built in 1892, and just doing some research on it, I found out that we were built over the first graveyard in Victoria, and there was, it was like, John Street was a big ravine with a creek going through it, but all the early settlers were buried along the edge of it. But wild pigs started rooting around it through the corpses and yanking them out, and the people of the city were quite disgusted by this, so they got all the convicts from the prison to exhume the rest of them and cart them off to a different location.
Ah, sounds like the plot to a bad horror movie.
Yeah, I filmed many a bad horror movie in the basement. There's secret doors that go off into the fabled underground tunnels of Victoria. And
have you made it through that door?
There's this great huge door. It's like 8 feet tall with a nice brick archway that... been cemented off on the other side, so I have this crack team of urban explorers down there, middle of the night with this big 18-inch drill, and we drilled through the cement hoping that it would just be hollow on the other side, but to our dismay, it turned out that decades ago, the last time that they did anything, they backfilled it with gravel, so our tunnel entrance had been sealed off.
Now, have you talked to any of the other store owners on the block to see...
Yeah, actually, talking to other store owners actually got the police involved. I was taken to into police custody.
What?
Apparently not allowed to talk about the underground tunnels in Victoria without somebody higher up getting wind of it and coming to talk to you.
So what we're talking about right now could get you into trouble?
Oh, I don't know. They let me out. I was in a police interrogating room for an hour because somebody misheard what I was talking about, that, we're built on the cemetery, and then police raided the comic store beside me thinking that somehow there were bodies in the basement, and which somehow meant there was, malicious intent with murder and this and that. I got a little out of control.
Well, yeah, as we all know, most comic shops are the center of satanic cult worship.
It's probably very true.
Yeah.
The Son of Satan is a big-selling comic book, even today.
There's a lot of occult stuff happens in Victoria.
Yeah, Victoria and Geneva are apparently the two hotbeds of non-Christian activity in the world, but I've never seen anything that bothered anyone.
No, mostly I see little old ladies.
Yeah, lots of hobos.
I once crashed in a building in Victoria that was supposedly haunted.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
near Island Fantasy.
Oh, Market Square was very, very old. Old with an E.
So tell us about, coupling to your question about the comic scene in Vancouver, tell us about the comic scene in Victoria, because I know Vancouver pretty well, and I know most of the players here, but I don't really know much about the Victoria scene other than
most of them moved here.
Yeah, I think you've got all of our early 90s. We used to have the only place in town that you could sell your zines, and there were like 50 people doing a zine, and a lot of people had like a monthly schedule, and they were selling them by 20 a week. Things were doing really well. And I think now there's down to maybe two or three zines in Victoria. If they didn't move to Vancouver, they've moved to Montreal.
Or Japan.
Or to Japan, yeah. Teach English.
I guess it pays.
Victoria has not... Well, it's a great city, and it's for the last 40 years, there's been a lot of comic collectors and people who do things, and there's some professionals here. People like Pat McEwen, who's since gone off to Montreal to school. But he did a lot of his Grendel work and his Zombie World stuff and Batman Beyond. Ken Stacey's still in Victoria.
Pat McEwen did Batman Beyond stuff?
Yeah, he quit doing comics to do storyboard animation for Warner Brothers.
I did not know, because we have Robin Bougie is getting a little obsessed with the Pat McEwen stuff.
And I love Pat's stuff. I've got tons of his work. He just kind of gives it to me every... He moved away a year and a half ago, and he kind of let me come to his house and take all his art.
Damn you, Gareth!
Award-winning Pat, but not many people know of him. For some reason.
Well, I guess
he's a Canadian national treasure.
He stayed under the radar.
He won an Eisner for best penciler in 1992.
Yeah,
that should be on the radar.
Yeah, no, it's I don't know.
Be a plaque somewhere.
A plaque for his home.
Yes,
an Eisner plaque.
An Eisner plaque. Pat was here. I'm gonna play a song. I'm gonna play the Beatles' "Sun King" now.
I love that song.
Which album is that from?
It's from Abbey Road.
Abbey Road. And why the Beatles' "Sun King"? Why that? Because it sounds like an odd track.
Oh, I don't know. It's got a good mood. As long as you shut it off before Polythene Pam comes on, or is it Mean Mr. Mustard?
I don't know. I just downloaded the the song. Yeah. I'm one of those digital heathens.
Yeah,
I don't even have records.
Thanks for asking what songs I wanted to play. Those are the first that came off my head.
Excellent. No, it's kind of, you know, that's one of the fun things about the show is seeing people's taste in music. The only person who left it up to us was Pete Bagg. And I was like, all right, let's see what Pete Bagg wants to listen to.
And you play his own songs from Action Suits.
Yeah, it was suiting. It was either that or like some old pop music or some Spice Girls.
Yeah, really.
If you want to know what Peter Bagg likes, a few years ago they put out a series of CDs of songs chosen by various cartoonists.
Yeah, his is about $40.
Yeah.
He's a Beach Boys fan, isn't he?
Yeah, huge Beach Boys fan.
Big Beach Boys.
But he was more happy to hear himself than the Beach Boys.
Good.
So
I like that Peter Bagg. He wrote me a letter when I was about 19 that gave me some encouragement. Keep on going.
Keep on trucking?
Yeah. You're not very good, but keep on going. Ready for Pete Bagg.
Hooray. So we'll be back in a couple minutes. This is CITR 101.9. We're talking to Gareth Gowden?
God, say Gowden, please.
Gowden? Okay.
Gowden.
I'm not too sure.
Gowden.
Okay.
Or Colin with hand if you're French.
Colin and I are trying to figure it out, and we're not very smart that way. So,
well, Colin Oopton? Oopton? It's all how you pronounce it.
Oopton! I like that. I'm going to start using that. Okay, CITR 101.9, we're back
in a sec. Just don't say colon.
Colin Oopton. Song just ends. Okay, CITR 101.9 FM. This is Ink Studs, the radio show where we talk about comics and with comics creators. Now, am I just me that I like to prefer to use comics with an X than instead of the CS?
Me?
I like to refer to comics with the X.
Yeah, me too. It's a co-mix of words and pictures.
And I never even went that far with it. I just thought it spelt cooler.
Yeah, it looks good. I think Will Eisner coined the co-mix word.
I thought it was Spiegelman.
I would probably even say it might even go back to Harvey Kurtzman, but I think the first time I actually read it with a historical background was from Eisner.
Okay. Well, we like to make fun of Spiegelman on here sometimes.
Yeah, Spiegelman. You know, he's...
He doesn't do comics anymore.
He did Mouse, and somebody's got to take that thing down from the number one spot in everyone's goddamn list.
Yeah, I think Jimmy Corrigan's replaced it for me. So... What are some of your influences for comics?
I was always a fan of Sergio Aragonés growing up. I loved Gru. I loved Mad Magazine. I loved that he could, you know, draw really quick and get something appealing out of it. And it didn't look like he was really laboring over his pencils, which I admired. I really hate penciling. Other than that, Daniel Klaus is probably the biggest influence in my adult life. Met him in this convention on the Hateball tour, actually, in 93. I drove down to Portland to meet him and Peter Bagg. Really got into his work around that time. You know, I like everyone. I'm a huge Kurtzman fan. All the EC guys.
Well, that kind of segues into, you were telling me I was at your comic store recently. I guess not recently, a couple months ago. And I think this is a story everyone should hear about your time with the Mad Magazine crew.
Oh, that was great. Somehow, I think January, or was it July 2000, was the 50th anniversary of the new trend of EC Comics when Bill Gaines took over his dad's educational comics. And I'm sure any one of your listeners knows the whole story of EC Comics and how great they were, and they're the reason why comics have a bad reputation, and the witch hunt began due solely to them. But the 50th anniversary of the beginning of the good stuff happened in San Diego, and somehow I was invited down as I was given a free ticket to go to be the photographer at this reunion. All the living artists and writers were going to be there. And went down there with a friend of mine, slept in this little rented Geo Metro out front of the San Diego Con, and got in and had like this fancy meal with Jack Davis, Marie Severin, Al Williamson. They were all there. It was great. And it was the world's largest original DC art gallery was there. It was fun, you know, all these people that you grew up loving. They're all still alive and really old.
I got the chance to meet Al Feltzi, and he was surely a gentleman.
He's a nice guy, isn't he? He comes to Victoria often. I keep seeing him on the streets.
Well, you were saying, I think, was it Sergio or Al? It was Al that you'd, like, put a note on your door, please come in?
Actually, that was both of them. I heard that Sergio Aragonés was in town, so I put a big sign in the window saying, Sergio, please come in. And, like, 10 minutes later, I heard laughter outside and looked out, and it was him and his wife, and they came in and drew a big picture for me and went on their way. But a friend of mine was at the San Diego convention last summer, and apparently Sergio told his end of the story. Like, he was an I'm in Victoria, and nobody knew he was here, apparently, except for one guy at the airport recognized him, so called me. So to him, it was just this bizarre coincidence that somebody knew who he was.
Well, he's kind of hard to miss, really.
Yeah, he's, you know, he was on Laugh-In. Everyone recognized that guy and his mustache. Oh, you were asking who I like. Herb Trimp. I'm taking back Herb Trimp.
Taking back Herb Trimp?
Yeah, he's been, you know,
dissed because of his, was he the one that first drew Wolverine?
Yeah, he did, actually. He drew my first comic I ever bought, Godzilla number 17.
And I think you, in one year, you got the cover for that?
No, I got the entire book. I bought the original art, all 17 pages of that thing.
Wow.
That's how, you know, diehard of a collector I am. Trying to piece my nostalgic childhood back together.
Should I ask how much that was for the full comic? Or is it one of those things where you haven't told your girlfriend how much it actually cost?
No, actually, at that time when I bought it, my daily comic was really a diary, and I probably wrote how much it was somewhere in it was like $1,800 US for this. I won it out of Texas in this auction. I didn't get the cover. I'm still looking for the cover. I got the entire interior. So if anyone in the history of buying me gifts or trading me things, if anyone comes across some Herb Trimp Godzilla original art, I'll do anything for that stuff.
Remember that, everyone. Herb Trimp Godzilla.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
I don't want any Spider-Man stuff. I have one Spider-Man original art. It's from Peter Bagg, actually, his megalomaniacal Spider-Man. I got a page from him for that.
Nice. Nice. Oh. That's good stuff.
I'd like to see Spider-Man versus Godzilla.
Godzilla issue 24, third to last page.
I didn't like P.A. knowledge comic. What plans of things are going to be this after, like, I can think of, or is it pretty proper?
I carry on whatever I like. And there's really going to be a high green coming form. At that time, I really get it. When I'm going to take bad time, I didn't do a lot of effort. I didn't think they're in more epic door as a student and all things that they're with, which is my mission.
I was wondering if you considered doing this online.
No, I've got a host who built the web form. Really great. Come this and follow. And there's new food. And chips and week too. That's what my unit. A lot of math. So I want to be happy.
Yeah, I was like a Meryl's butt free. Yeah, you see one of days you gotta be. Yeah, I was like a Meryl's butt free. Yeah, you see one of days you gotta be.
I still look at the hate form. Yeah. I know I have all days and third one. And you and all the other all dance. I've got the new people not through the
best. Nice, nice. That's like a scene or a. Was Twitch a Marinelli's install? I knew there.
Negative. I chopped them open. But I started a daily comic in like 1995. I did about 2 weeks. I was just, something happened. And then, you know, I started reading his books, and I was just so frustrated that he was doing it and I wasn't. That was one of the impetuses for me to actually start the daily. I think day one of my current project was Damn That James Kochalka. Because he's doing it, what the hell am I doing? So yeah, he's a huge influence. I certainly try to do something different than he's doing, but yeah, there's no denying that he's a figure to reckon with.
Now, what are some new comics that are really sticking out to you as far as new creators? Because, you know, a lot of people ask the influences, and it'll be like, you know...
Yeah, the 80s and 90s guys are...
You know, yeah, like, you know, we all love Dan Clowes, and, you know, I have yet to find a creator where I interview them, and they say they don't say Chris Ware is, you know, their biggest influence.
Yeah, who doesn't love Chris Ware? Paul Hornsheimer's, he's great.
You know, I was just reading Sequential today.
Yeah? Oh, yeah, Sequential's beautiful, beautiful book. I want somebody to do a package up all my, you know, childhood comics and do a hardcover like that. Maybe one day.
One day.
He's great. There's a whole bunch of this huge new crop of cartoonists, and I try to read them all, and a lot of great things. But I don't know. There's nobody's totally standing out to kick my ass right now.
Do you suffer from? I know that sometimes comics owners get like overloaded with comics. Just like, you know, okay, I can only really look at a couple, and the rest, like, yeah, that's great. I just don't want to read another.
Every Wednesday, I go to work early, and the new shipment arrives, and by the end of the day, I've got a stack of 40 things to take home, and I try to read them over the next couple of days. Yeah, it can be overwhelming, especially if you miss a couple of weeks, and you're just drowning in it. Luckily, for the comic industry, Marvel and DC are doing really well right now, and I can stand behind selling somebody a Daredevil because it's written and drawn very well. If anyone needs a good, you know, Sopranos-esque action comic, Daredevil's it. But for the underground press, there's tons of stuff coming out, but I don't know. What are you reading right now?
What am I reading? I'm loving the new Moam anthology.
Oh, yeah?
That's one of my favorite things that have been sticking out to me, because Paul Hornsheimer. Hornsheimer,
that's what I've been pronouncing him.
Yeah. Mixoplex?
How are we pronounce that? I don't know.
Anders Nilsson's one of my personal faves right now. I think he's a strong creator that's going to be putting out some incredible stuff in about a year.
What about Marjane Satrapi? Come on, her Persepolis and her embroideries. It's all gorgeous stuff.
I like the first two books. I didn't think as much of embroideries, but I did like the first couple.
I think it's well done, but it doesn't do anything for me.
Perhaps a little soulless.
I wouldn't say, well, no, I'm not going to say soulless.
No?
I think it's half done.
Oh.
I'd say that, you know, it's interesting, but it just doesn't do anything for me.
Oh.
All right. Yeah, no, I totally dig that stuff. I love her work. I'm really excited about what she'll do in the future.
I've been excited by an Italian artist named, I think it's Gippy or Jippy, I'm not sure which. They put out a book called The Innocents.
Oh, from the Ignatz series, Cocochino Press?
Yeah.
From Fantagraphics.
So it's, unlike a lot of European comics, I really like the writing.
The Dupuis and Beberian books are nice.
Yes, I have one. I haven't cracked it open yet.
Oh, that's good. Which one did you get?
Oh, the one that just came in this week?
Maybe later.
Yeah.
Yeah, two of them we got last week. They're both really nice. I haven't read them either.
I didn't read the Maybe Later yet, I read the other one. Actually, no, I've read a bit of both of them now, and they're both excellent reads. Of course, you can always check out my column in the Discord every month of the recommendations coming from Robin.
I love the Discorder. Your column's very good.
Thank you. Thank you. I put some effort into it.
It shows. You have a passion for comics. You know, more people should.
More people should.
I'm just amazed that you've been able to retain your passion for comics, considering you work... It's also your livelihood. It's your job.
Yeah, I worked there for 10 years and then bought the store, and I'm there every day.
So is it yours solely, or is it a partnership?
Yeah, when I was offered to me, I was the employee, and I bought it from Grant. But I brought on this guy Lloyd Chesley, who's a comics aficionado for decades. The guy's an encyclopedic comic book warehouse, and he's my partner.
Nice.
Yeah, if you come to Legends, talk to him. Talk about 60s rock and comics, and he talks for hours.
So, how important is it to develop your readers, your customers, to educate them?
Oh, that's like a major part of my job, is There's a bunch of gateway books, you know, like if people are kind of staggering into the comic shop, a little intimidated because they don't shop there, and we've got 50 years of stigma attached to it. But, you know, every day you get a few more people to come in, and you got to hook them somehow. And there's a ton of things. If you don't get them with The Watchmen right off the bat, then Why the Last Man or Fables usually wins them over.
I love Watchmen, but I sometimes wonder if it's too much.
It is a dense read, and you read a person if they really want some, you know, they're novel readers or something. Most people can handle it. But if they spent their life reading Archie's, it is quite a step up.
I think I'm going to play the Santo and Johnny Sleepwalk.
Yeah.
I'll play that. CITR 101.9, we're joined by Gareth Godin, creator of the Magic Teeth Dailies. All right.
What was that?
That was awesome.
Thanks.
That wasn't the cat, was it?
No.
Oh, good.
CITR 101.9 FM. That was Sleepwalk?
Sleepwalk by Santo and Johnny.
By Santo and Johnny.
1959.
That's a nice mellow track.
Nice summer tune.
Ink Studs. We are speaking to Gareth Godin.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Hi,
everybody. You know, it's funny you threw that sound. For a while, I was using the Segway sound from Super Friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I forgot to pull it out this week.
Oh.
It was my, if you ever hear us with Dawn on, the man does not shut up, so sometimes I'll just play it to shut him up. Listen to our Toth episode, he used a lot on that one.
All right.
Our Toth, I've been told it's pronounced. Carolyn, you have a question?
I was just wondering, you've set yourself out to do a comic strip, a cartoon a day for the rest of your life. Do you have people who are watching you and waiting for you to miss a day?
I don't know. I haven't had any of that yet. A lot of people ask me questions like, you know, do you take a weekend off and do a bunch afterwards, or if you stock up and do some before? But no, I've actually done one a day.
Sounds like Colin wants to know if you have any haters.
Not yet. Somebody's actually probably going to kill me one day, and then I won't have a cartoon that day. I think sometime when I'm getting close to, you know, 70, I think I'll do a cartoon, like two in one day, and one of them I'll always have at the end, so it'll be my farewell. But no, I don't have any haters yet. I haven't really done anything to really, except all those bodies in the basement, you know.
Yeah,
That's a cemetery. I had nothing.
The cemetery. Yeah, a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah.
Music. You also do Magic Teeth Records.
Yeah. In 1997, just to up the ante with the comic book I was doing it, I think issue 32 of the original Magic Teeth run, I decided to get a 7-inch made in my bands and my friends' bands. And it was kind of a hit, so I went off and put out 10 or 11 records over the past 9 years. And some of them to great success, like Leroy Stagger and Run Chica Run.
You were mentioning Leroy's been used in a lot of different stuff and getting a lot of acclaim locally.
It was great. I was doing my cartoon a couple months ago, watching Grey's Anatomy on a Sunday night. Good show, and I think it just won some Emmys or something. And a Leroy song came out. I own the rights to that song. What the hell is it doing on TV?
I'm getting a nickel for that.
Yeah, it was great.
Now, you'd sent the station a Budokan 7-inch.
Yeah, the latest record.
I couldn't find it.
Oh.
But I have the Doll Hospital EP.
Cool.
Any tracks you want us to play off that when we finish off the show?
Oh, Doll Hospital, for sure.
The Doll Hospital?
Yeah.
The Doll Hospital.
Or St. Joan is on that. It's a really good one.
Let's see.
Andrew Malloy, a Victoria legend. He was in Bum, which is one of the bands that inspired me to be in musical acts and have a record label. Andrew was he was the John Lennon of Bum. And this is a new band, Budokan, and St. Joan is his tribute to Joan Jett.
Well, we'll play St. John then. I think I'm going to call the interview to an end.
Okay.
Thank you for taking the time with us, Gareth.
Anytime. I wish I could have been more funny. But, you know, I got cartoons. You can get them soon on the website. Or, you know, anytime you're in Victoria, stop by Legends.
Stop by Legends. Get yourself a button of the Pierogi Cat sitting in his key litter.
Yes.
Pierogi Cat's a girl, right?
He's both. He's a boy and a girl. Whatever makes the joke funnier.
It's like a worm.
Yeah. I haven't decided. I haven't really tipped him upside down to check.
Well, if she's getting period pants.
Yeah, I don't know what I have period. No, I don't.
I have period shorts, probably. My comfy shorts. But we all have our...
Still unsure as to the definition of a...
You know, like when you're feeling bloated, Colin?
No.
You can't wear jeans every day, Colin.
I'm wearing shorts.
Ooh. I like you, Colin. I haven't seen you in a long time.
Don't get out to Victoria. The last convention I was at in Victoria turned out to be a bit of a fiasco.
And that's almost every convention here in the last 20 years is a bit of a fiasco.
Do they still do conventions in Victoria?
Yeah, every month there's a little one, like a little swap meet, kind of like your Heritage Hall thing.
Oh, I think when I was there, there was one, but I was like all burnt out and just wanted to go home and spend too much money.
I've just seen the same stock for my whole life. So I think.
Are there any actual creators there?
Ken Stacy shows up once in a while. But
that's like a standard.
Yeah. He's great and all, but you know, I met him when I was 5. I don't need to meet him now. I can.
Well, thank you very much.
Of course.
And I will let you know when the pod is available for listening.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Enjoy the comics. I'll send you some more. I'll just get you on the list, and you'll get one every month. Good luck with the radio show.
Thank you.
Yeah, look
and keep listening.
When you're in town.
I'm totally digging it.
Next month, we have a big list of guests. I'll send you a poster. You'll be quite shocked.
Yeah, send me a poster every month and I'll put it up in the store.
Awesome. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
That was Gareth Godin, creator of the Magic Teeth Dailies. Go to Legends Comics and check him out. Next month, some of our guests will include, starting next week, Abby Denson, who's on the cover of the West Ender this week. Pick it up and read about Abby. She's got a comic called High School Confidential, True High School Confidential? I can't remember. And, check it out. It's good. We'll be interviewing her. Robin Kay will be joining me for that interview. And that night, she's going to be doing a signing at Sophia's Books on Hastings. I don't know what time. Probably says in the article in the newspaper in the West Ender. If not, just go by Sophia's Books and ask for Sean and say, "What the hell, Sean? When's she coming?" Exactly
but
like
in that,
that
voice.
Voice. In
yes,
that voice.
Yeah.
The week after, we'll be interviewing Tony Millionaire.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! I'm going to ask him about drinking and drinking and more drinking. And then also about comics a little. The week after that will be James Kolchelka.
Woo!
Woo! James Kolchelka! Followed by James Jean, the cover artist for Fables and a bunch of other stuff. Really talented artist. Colin has no idea. Don't worry, Colin. Sean from Sophia's will be joining me for that one.
Woo-hoo.
Woo! And the week after will be Robin Thompson, local creator, and another Robin.
Too many Robins.
Too many Robins. Forgot to mention to Gareth, as well as his Spider-Man obsession, Robin Fisher has a black cat obsession where she gets every black cat comic. It's insane. Every black cat appearance.
Well, there's probably fewer black cat appearances than there are Spider-Man appearances.
Yeah, I'd hate to see her checkbook after getting every Spider-Man appearance. But hello to Robin, who's in Montreal now.
Is she listening? Does she even listen?
Yeah, she listens.
What
listens
time
more
is
than
it
you
Montreal?
Do. Right now, Montreal, it's almost 6 o'clock, almost 3 o'clock here. Inkstud, CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. If you have any questions for us for the last 30 seconds, 822-2487. And don't forget our podcast listening at www.crowncommission.com/inkstuds. Special thanks to the Crown Commission boys, namely Ed and Brian, for hosting it and that. They're always super-duper boys. I love them to death. And I'm going to end off with the Budokan. Any last words, Colin?
Word.
Poit, poot, poot, poot.
Your bad reputation. Dream.